Howdy, everybody. How are you guys feeling today? Are you seeing the lights on my face? Dan, what can you do about that? That's an Iranian satellite. They're currently controlling my mind, sending me signals of doubt. I doubt that we can invade and not suffer massive casualties. I doubt we can succeed. I have no doubt there is a need for adults in the room. Yes, Iran is using its laser light show system technology 9000. Yes, Iran is using its lightsaber technology 9000 to control my mind. It is March the 26th, 9:31 a.m. in the year 2026, Pacific Standard Time. And we're in whatever day of the war that's supposed to last a couple days, hey. But tomorrow, there's another deadline. And this time, they're super, super serious about their deadline. If that line gets crossed, if you take on the boss, if you question his crown, he's gonna take you down, buddy. He's the orange hyena. He's the Dorito King. He's the Cheeto Bandito. And a lot of pain he'll bring. So don't doubt that the Yellow King. Don't doubt that the Orange Empire, don't doubt that the Emperor of Orange, the Duke of Hurl, I'm going to call him the Duke of Hurl, the Duke of Hurl, Papa Blumpty Blump. And he's alone out there fighting this battle. He's alone with Birdie Bess at the Battle of Bunkton, taking on all the rest. Ghost soldiers from hundreds of years ago are fighting him, biting him, scaring him in the night, fever dreams. Will the Cheeto Bandito overcome his enemies? Will he stand up? Will he ride his horse? Will he carry his saber all the way to Tehran? And did Tehran run far away? Did Tehran? Yeah, we'll give people a few minutes to show up and give Iran time to use their laser weapon against my soul. Yes, Iran. Iran so far away, yea. Iran, Iran so far away, yea. What did he say? Bum ba dum ba dum bum, bum ba dum ba dum bum, bum ba dum ba dum bum, bum ba dum ba dum bum. Iran all to Tehran. Yeah, I can't do it. I got no melody. So no one's in the live stream yet, and chances are five or six or zero people will show up. But I'm going to do this particular podcast in addition to the one that I am going to do for sure every week, Thursday afternoons, 3:45 Pacific Standard Time. Until when, who knows? But that doesn't mean it'll be the only podcast. It doesn't mean it'll be only live stream. I felt a desire to speak my mind in the last couple days. And since I've been told to stay home, I've been suspended from school. So there was a movie that came out. This movie came out about 30 years ago, almost 29 years ago. And the movie dealt with a civil war in the United States, although it's really campy, kind of tongue in cheek, though it has moments that kind of hit you. They're trying to use an absurdly horrible situation, but add humor to it. It almost worked. I mean, a lot of people didn't like the film, and I think one of the reasons why people didn't like the film is that it seemed like it was too plausible. Like, this is one scenario that could happen. I think a lot of people, that made them angry. But at one point in the film, there are advisors to the President of the United States about the breakaway state of Idaho. And the suggestion that's made is, well, we should do a deadline. I don't know if you'll be able to hear this or not. I'm going to play this and hopefully my microphone will hear it. Right? Hopefully my microphone will hear it. I hope it's not all cray cray. But let's see if you guys hear it on Internet World.
Mr. President, it's a deadline. Precisely. It's a deadline we're giving Idaho to get those damn orphans in there. It's 72 hours. No ifs, ands, or buts. Teddy Roosevelt would have played the orphan card.
Oh, no, Mr. President, I was referring to FDR, Franklin Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt, when he led the Rough Riders over the hill on that charge, when he declared war on Spain, now that was an orphan card.
Okay. So again, I love Phil Hartman. He has been away for a while. He died a number of years ago. And he was a great comedian. He was a great character actor comedian. And even though he wasn't necessarily playing Donald Trump, he was playing that kind of bubble-headed, ditzy, empty-suited politician in a situation that was quite dangerous. We've had two deadlines in recent weeks. We had the 48-hour deadline last Saturday night. And then Trump on Monday saw the price of oil. And then he said, 5 days, and there's going to be a final blow. You know what I mean? I got to readjust this again. Oh, you just caused a vibrational system in the force. I did. I ruined everything. I ruined it vibrationally. I hope that people heard that. Let me check the live stream, see if anybody's here. Nobody's here. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. So this particular live stream, like I said, does not replace the one at 3:45. But I really don't want to spend a shit ton of time talking about Iran at 3:45 because I'd rather just talk to the listeners and talk about ordinary shit or something funny. I'm not saying the world isn't there. I'm not saying you should go in the direction of ignorance. That's not even remotely my point. But I do have a simple question before we go too deep on the Iran subject today. What functionally is impacted in your life so far by this war? Now, if you tell me the price of fuel, well, that's a big deal. I mean, none of us have a lot of extra money. We're all candles burning at both ends. So the price of fuel is bad enough, okay? And then you could say, well, Dan, already the price of food is going up again, faster. And I've noticed that too. We're not supposed to notice it because, you know, Dorito Bandito, the Orange King, our Yellow Emperor, the hero of Taco Time. Yeah, according to him, everything's A-okay with inflation. I don't trust those numbers, so I couldn't really tell you. But what we can see with our own eyes, what we can experience as human beings, at least that's the kind of news we can grab onto. As far as the war with Iran goes, let's bright side and pretend that the fuzzy event they've been managing since 2020 is the collapse of the US dollar system. And my friends, I hope that's the case, because the other scenario is just too god-awful. But let's just assume it is absolutely 100% about the dollar imploding as the world reserve currency. And people would say, well, Dan, you know, that'll be gradual and linear. And I just want to shut people up and say, nature, humans love to make linear things. Nature rarely does. And when it does so in such a way that you really can't match it. The bottom line is, when it comes to change, nature really doesn't like linear. It likes equilibrium, which means a variation within a range. Nature loves that shit, but then every once in a while, the equilibrium shifts. And that's not linear, and that's not continuous, and that's not gradual. So, again, it could just be the collapse of the dollar. And a lot of these things we've read about over the last few years, you know, mysterious cattle just all dying, chickens getting heart attacks, or worse yet, chickens having sex with pigs and other types of animals and getting some type of pig herpes and dying. Eggs exploding. Ostriches being killed off. Yeah, I think they ended up in Hong Kong. You take all the food processing stories, all of the agricultural stories, all the stories that tell you there's not enough food, or the food was burnt, or the food was destroyed, or George Soros is destroying the beef industry. What if the truth is the Chinese in 2019 started rejecting trade on a dollar basis? That they said, you want the HDTV, you want the new cool drone technology for Christmas? Do you want your Costco filled and your Walmart filled with shit that people can buy? We don't take your dollar any longer. But we will take chicken. We will take cow. We will take pig. We'll take gold and silver. And you can send us as much oil as you want to. We'll take that instead. The Iran war could be 100% real, but I'm going to play, before we go into it as real, I want to play another interpretation. And that is, it could be real in the way that the Ukraine war has been real, which means to the extent that people are dying, sure. To the extent that the Iranians are launching missiles, maybe. I don't know. It all could be kind of true. But if you wanted to manage the collapse of the dollar, and the Chinese and others were demanding resources, demanding access to resources, there might not be any other way America would go along with this other than to say, oops, we fought Iran and Iran won. And, you know, just like, you know, I fought the law, well, I fought Iran and Iran won, you know. Yeah. That would be a great way to transfer a crap ton of resources to China and other countries to cover debt and treasuries that are being redeemed and to cover trade. Now, of course, this sounds insane. Dan, that's crazy. It might be, because the other interpretation, well, there's others, there's not just two, But my other interpretation is much worse. And frankly, if you want to take the middle ground and just say, Dan, get all the woo-woo out of the way. This is just great power politics, Thucydides trap bullshit. You know, you just need to calm down and take a fucking chill pill. If it is that, if it is just great power bullshit, then it's also really unstable and dangerous. It is. It's more dangerous than people really understand. Let's talk about sending the Marines and light forces to take Karg Island and sending light forces to take the other side of the Strait of Hormuz and other locations. Firstly, none of these will be easy, even if we had sufficient forces, and we don't. Lindsey Graham really wanted to compare our situation with Marines to Iwo Jima. Well, at Iwo Jima, as other commentators have pointed out, we more or less sent an entire Marine Corps, which means not the Marine Corps, but basically, I think, three or four divisions, about 70,000 troops, invaded Iwo Jima. And there were 20-some thousand Japanese there dug in really well. Most of them died. Most of them were killed. Very few Japanese were taken prisoner. And again, this isn't about whether that was right or wrong. That's war. That's reality. So flash forward to 2026 and look at the situation and tell me that with a couple battalions of Marines and maybe a half a division of the 82nd and 101st and some Navy SEALs and Green Beret, tell me that you can take anything from Iran and hold it for any amount of time. And while you're doing this, while you're getting there, while you're flying your planes and everything else, your C-130s, your landing ships, you're getting rocket fire and missile fire and everything else. So before we dive into this, I can't imagine, I don't want to believe that the people who are in charge of the U.S. Army and the Marine Corps and the Navy and the Air Force, I do not want to believe that they're mass killers. And I don't mean as far as the Iranians go. I have no doubt they're trained and ready to kill the enemy. This operation is going to kill a lot of Americans, if it's real. Assuming we don't have, you know, woo-woo UFO super tech. But assuming we have what we have, this will kill a lot. And this is the dark interpretation. This is the first thing I want to talk about. What if that's the whole point? What if the whole point, and hey, Ron and Neutral, can you guys hear me okay? Because I just checked the chat. Can you guys hear me okay? So if you guys can hear me okay, just let me know in the little chat box. It'll be helpful because I don't have any super tech or any kind of a budget. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. So why? Why would we serve up a sacrifice? And I was going to read about Task Force Smith again. I have a link to an article from the U.S. Army written by an intel officer. It looks fairly basic and simple and straightforward. And people who have studied Task Force Smith will tell you over and over again, there was no way it could have stood up to the North Koreans. There was just no way. No one probably really believed that, except for some hardcore racists who just assumed that if a white man's carrying a rifle, then, you know, everyone's going to fall over sideways. Task Force Smith was just a few hundred men sent to fight off tens of thousands of North Koreans with T-34s. The North Koreans had the T-34s. We had bazookas that, you know, if you read the article, bounced off the armor. Yeah, because our bazookas during World War II weren't that good, let alone by the Korean War. This will be ugly. So the question you have to ask yourself is, why? And what I'm left with, there's only one explanation for this, and it's an ugly explanation. That if Trump is really under the gun, if the Epstein affair, and I think that's a name, I don't think there was ever a person really called Epstein, but I have no doubt that all that pedophile bullshit did happen. But if that entire universe of organized, institutionalized pedophilia involves President Trump, and there's good evidence for it, and the Israelis are holding that over his head, then he's in a pickle. He has to figure out a way to convince the American people that what is not at all a legal war, this is a war of aggression. This is a war of aggression that is not justified. We were in the middle of peace talks. Already, the United States has committed multiple war crimes, and Trump is technically a war criminal. And so is Netanyahu, and frankly, those in the IDF involved in this. He's in for the kit and caboodle. People think that he can rewind from this, but he really can't. He crossed the Rubicon. Now, do I think he could save himself? Yeah, maybe. There's one thing he could do that he won't do, and I've said it again and again. He could toss Israel under the bus, but he's not going to do it. So if he's not going to toss Israel under the bus, the only other move he has left is to convince the American people that we have to invade Iran. And the only way we're going to do that is to go to a full-scale war economy. Okay, we're not talking the Vietnam War economy, no. This is not a repeat of the 1960s. This is closer to World War II because that's where things are at. That's how broke we are. That's how ill-prepared we are. That's how filled with hubris we are. We're filled with hubris that we can just go somewhere, show up somewhere, and enemy armies will fall over. And there's a reason for that. We've been fighting the slack-jawed yokels and the poors with our technology since the end of the Cold War. And when you're fighting a bunch of poor people who have no resources, it's not a mystery as to the outcome. We know the outcome. Iran, as we went over yesterday, is a lot of slow-go and no-go terrain, which means no matter what you think, you are not going to Rommel your way to Tehran. And I jokingly propose 500,000 troops, and that would take about 6 months, and that's not enough. So even if we built up roughly 600,000 troops, even if we did that, and I got to check my phone really quick, check it if I care. Oh, Department ID for copying. He'll figure that out. He'll figure it out. I don't need a Department ID for copying. I'm suspended. What was I talking about? Yeah. The only possible way that Trump could get the American people to support a major invasion is to convince them they have to go to a full war economy. That means the taxes. It probably definitely means rationing. It means the whole kit and caboodle with a digital side. Oh yeah, and this is how they get the central bank digital currency, and this is how you have the universal ID, and this is how we finally put every last person into the wonderful, wonderful panopticon prison camp called America, at least if you live here. But you have to have something absurdly gross happen, something terrible happen. You have to have American forces being torn to pieces in order to justify that, and then you have to hope that in the head of the Americans, they think evil Iran. They don't think dumb Trump. They don't think evil State of Israel. They think Iran evil because we invaded them, and they decided to fight back. Folks, this could get really ugly really fast. If they intend to use light forces, and they have no choice because heavy forces wouldn't do much better. If they intend a conventional 20th century style campaign, that's a better way of putting it, it ain't gonna work. Now, if you can keep your war plan secret, and if you can reinvent the modern soldier, frankly, as an infiltrator, which means you take 500,000 troops, but you scatter them. Same way the Iranians are scattering their defenses, you scatter the troops. So that in reality, best case scenario, one of your missile attacks, maybe it kills a squad, right? Maybe it kills a squad. You deploy troops at the squad level or below. You do not mass greater than squad within so many miles. And you infiltrate. The whole purpose is to arrive at a location, concentrate force. So you develop planning models, deployment models, where people infiltrate a country and then they combine their forces. That could theoretically work. It's complicated as hell, and you need a very disciplined military to pull it off. But theoretically, that's how you would deal with the drone problem, is you would disperse to such a level that it becomes expensive to use drones. But you're not going to get there. You would need, almost literally, an army that's special forces trained. And even if you can get the troops there, they're still going to have the problem of resupply. How do you get them supplied? How do you get them the ammo they need? And if they concentrate forces, then they have to reveal themselves. Well, how do you make sure they have air cover? There's so many problems with every scenario. The simple truth is, we can't do it unless we're willing to lose a lot of Americans. And the other possibility, and it's something that's horrible to think about, the other possibility is that this is being done as a setup to justify the use of nuclear weapons, which I think is in many scary ways more likely, because the attempt to somehow set things up so that the American people would rally around the flag. 9/11 was not a slam dunk. They needed a lot of propaganda to shove that shit down the throats of Americans. And since 9/11, a lot of Americans are kind of like, no, no, no. Obama tried in 2013 to do that with Syria. It didn't work. It's not to say that we're not bombing people. We're still bombing people. We're still attacking the poor people. Look at Venezuela. But when it comes to a non-trivial threat, like Assyria, or better example, like Iran, a non-trivial threat, an almost peer. There's no way we do this without a lot of people dying. And so they might serve up the Marines, and they might serve up the 82nd. And guys, if you're 82nd, if you're Marines, and they're sending you to this debacle, you still have choices you can make, okay? He's the president of the United States. He's not the king of America. And in fact, the Constitution is supposed to restrict what he can and can't do. And everything he's doing right now is a war crime, which means literally every general within 10 feet of President Trump has a right to arrest him and take him to jail. And yes, Trump gets a trial. He gets a trial in the Senate. But the bottom line is he's committing war crimes. That is worse than just high crimes and misdemeanors. And sending Marines to their death is treachery. He's a traitor. If he's serving up the Marines as a justification to further an illegal war, well, that's just one crime piled on another. So if there were officers in the military who took the road seriously, this is not ambiguous. It is your job to arrest the President of the United States. If the Secret Service gets in your way, it's your job to arrest them too. Let's just be serious. If we're all going to play pretend like this is real, then let's get real and state the facts. Will they do it? No. No, the Oath Keeper thing was an op. It's all bullshit. But do they have the legal right and the obligation to do it? And as of right now, probably as of a few weeks ago, they do. They not only have the right to do it, they are obligated to do it. Right now, you are obligated to stop a war criminal. None of them will, though. They'll go on Fox News and bloviate. They'll talk about the next election, and they'll make sure you know that it's just a few bad apples in Israel. Israel's our friend. Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Here's a fun question that I'm going to ask my friends out there in space and time. Do you think it's possible that Iran has burrowing mines? And let me explain what a burrowing mine is. A burrowing mine is something that you would read about in Heinlein or maybe Philip K. Dick or other science fiction writers 30, 40, 50 years ago. And certainly in the Cold War, during the Cold War, towards the end of it, the Soviets and us probably experimented with burrowing mines. But the concept is relatively simple. Imagine a mine, you place it on the ground. It's designed to burrow in, but to burrow very deep, really deep. Too deep to be effective, but also too deep to be destroyed. So all the engineers from the army with the really cool tanks and the chains doing this and all the other, you know, we got a rocket and we'll explode it and we'll remove all the mines. This type of mine makes all of those demining techniques null and void. They won't work. A burrowing mine will burrow down a certain depth. Let's say, if possible, it'll burrow down, let's say, 20 feet. And again, when I say burrow, I don't mean straight. This is drone technology too. Oh yeah, guess what? You can apply drone type technology to mines. So the burrowing mine burrows down. It hits a rock, it takes a turn, it keeps burrowing until it gets down 20 feet. It has a map of how it got there so it can go right back up, like a little mole. At 20 feet, the engineers come in, oh, we got rid of all the mines, everything's A-OK. And then, either through sonic remote control, which is one technique, or just vibrational detection, or maybe even a timer, who knows, these mines burrow back up to lethality depth. And what is in them? Who knows? I mean, there's all kinds of weird ways to hurt people. There's these poppers that pop up and explode. There's the stuff on the ground that takes away your leg. There's all kinds of mines that will cause all kinds of problems. There's probably thermite and white phosphorus mines for melting armor. But all of these burrowing mines have one thing in common. None of the demining techniques and potentially none of the detection techniques will work. They'll be too deep. They'll be probably nearly 100% ceramic, which means you're, oh, I got a mine, too bad. Your mine detector's not gonna help you. And if you turn it up so high, you'll detect everything as a mine. Did you know that? Yeah, every rock, everything you come across. If the Iranians have burrowing mines, and that's something I do not know, that is a speculation of an application of technology to a relatively simple problem. If they have burrowing mines, then Karg Island could be worse than anybody could imagine in terms of taking the island. Mm-hmm. Lindsey Graham says that it's just like Iwo Jima. You know, everybody should read about Iwo Jima. Here's a random question, not directly related to Iran, but I'll ask all you guys. And Ron, if you're still there, and Neutral, if you're still there, I'll ask you guys. Do you think it's possible that Trump, in the tradition of evil, wretched families, is a practicer of incest for reproduction? And maybe not in all cases, but in many cases. And let me explain what I mean. Do you think it's possible that Trump learned from his dad, who learned from his dad, so he marries a woman to give birth to a girl, and then he ends up impregnating his own daughter to have that near perfect, you got a little bit of mixing going on, but that near perfect, almost branchless family tree? Because he seems like the kind of nutty old fucking king that results from a lot of fucking incest. Like, there's a lot of uncle daddies and brother sisters and grandma uncles or grunkles. A lot of grunkles in his family tree, I think. So let's review some of the news related to the Iran shit. Iranian state TV said that Tehran has rejected the plan coming from Pakistan. The Iranian foreign minister says that at present our policy is to keep fucking you up. The White House said the U.S. is very close to meeting the core objectives in Iran. God damn. What even the fuck does that mean? And that Trump will unleash hell if Iran does not accept defeat. Well, that's the kind of shit that a person who isn't a war criminal says. Trump said negotiations are underway and claimed Iran wants to make a deal. Bullshit. Vice President J.D. Trance, it may go to Pakistan to have sex with his hooker girlfriend. Iran has threatened to disrupt the Balababi Magagabi Strait, not far from Dibdribatut and Red Sea blob. Iran attacked a power plant in Israel. Oh, but Israel said nothing happened. Iran said the U.S. and Israel attacked the Bushehr nuclear plant or nearby. Media coverage of potential Karg Island takeover scenarios has intensified, which means people are chatting about it, talking about it on CNN. They're bringing in their experts like that General Kellogg piece of shit. God damn, we gotta be like the Romans. Grab our spears and ballista. fight those nasty Persians with our laser beam eyes. Crazy shit. Iran's parliament is working on a bill. They got a bill to take up the hill. The Israeli military said it carried out a wide-scale wave of strikes. Sure they did. On Telegraph, people are being gaslit, and yeah, Russia has begun arming Iran. They've been doing it continuously. The United Kingdom is discussing stuff that is irrelevant because the United Kingdom hasn't been relevant in, like, I don't know, forever. So here's one of the problems you run into. Again, we're all playing pretend right now, and we're saying to ourselves, this conflict between Iran and Israel and the U.S., it's real. It's a Thucydides trap. It's real. Okay, let's keep playing that. If you're in a conflict, a conventional war, and you go between empty threats, which again, I don't know how to explain this to Mega Man because I do believe I have to beat up on him. Mega Man has a really low IQ. Whoever voted at all, whoever votes at all has a low IQ. But voting for Trump is especially low IQ because it doesn't even represent an attempt at solving problems. It's just anger. So I'm not sure I should explain this to Mega Man or not. It's just, here's the deal. If you're in a conflict and you do not intend to reach a peace agreement or get to an armistice, which means it is a war of survival for both sides. It's not a war to defeat an enemy. It's not a war to remove an army. It is a war of destruction. It's a war where when you're done, your enemy gets sent back to the Stone Age, right? If you constantly make empty threats, people will not take you seriously. If you constantly talk about peace talks that are happening or coming and they're not, people will not take you seriously. If it seems like there's a near 100% correlation between you opening your mouth and various futures contracts or, you know, prices or the price of oil changing, people are going to think you're crooked as fuck. And right now, it looks like in the last few weeks, the Kushners and the Trumps and a lot of people in that little orbit have made a shit ton of money. And that includes the Senate people and the Congress people. That includes both parties, okay? This Israel thing is not about Republicans or Democrats. The whole system is infected with this Zionist garbage. And a lot of people are making money off of this. But here's the thing. Your enemy no longer takes you seriously. That's over. They cannot take Trump seriously. They can believe that he has every intention of killing them, but they can't take him seriously, which means the ability to turn the war off from the Iranian perspective is done. It's cooked. It can't happen. There might be a few days left where this war could be turned off, but if we send in the Marines and it becomes a bloody fucking mess, which it is likely to be, unless we have the woo-woo UFO super weapons, then the war goes to another level. And either we back down completely, and that means the Persian Gulf is now 100% wholly owned by the BRICS. That's right, not just Iran, but also China and the others. Unless we're willing to concede the Persian Gulf to the BRICS, this is a battle for survival. And as far as the Trump administration goes, I don't know. I think Kissinger got to die without ever facing a war trial. A war crimes trial, and he should have. He should have faced a trial at The Hague for committing war crimes, crimes against humanity, but he avoided it. He never got arrested. The question is, can Trump avoid it? Can Jared Kushner avoid it? If we bug out and Israel is left to fight Iran by itself, can they possibly win without using nukes? So this whole situation spirals out of control within a few days if you think this is real. But the bottom line is, if you keep spouting your mouth and making empty threats and spouting your mouth and breaking promises and spouting around that you're meeting for peace talks when it's bullshit, your enemy will stop listening to you and your enemy will assume that the only way they can win is to completely destroy you. Which in this case means destroying Trump politically, kicking the U.S. out of the Gulf, and probably destroying the state of Israel, which I think at this, I think we're almost nearing a tipping point where the state of Israel is unviable because economically, nobody's going to want to invest in them. The U.S., at some point, there will be a sea change, and whatever money they get from us is going to dry up. And if it's dollar collapse, guess what? It doesn't matter because we could be giving them a shit ton of money. And if the dollar's collapsing, if it's losing its value, then it doesn't matter how much money we give to Israel. They're fucked. And this goes back to a couple years ago before 10/7. Guys, the state of Israel had a plan and it was working. It wasn't a good plan. It wasn't a moral plan. It wasn't a decent plan, but it was a logical plan to achieve greater Israel. And if they had another 20 or 30 years, they would have done it. Somebody told the state of Israel, or at least those people that run it, in the summer of 2023, that you guys don't have 20 or 30 years. You got 2 or 3. That's either related to an economic thing or something else. If it's something else, then the economic stuff's going to happen anyways. That's just baked in the cake. If it's just economic, then the most likely contender is the collapse of the dollar. And that was probably them saying, listen, we can lie and we can cheat and we can play Enron games till the chickens come home to roost, right? But you guys got 2 more years where the money we give you will buy anything. So this means that Trump's situation is desperate. It means that he could very well sacrifice hundreds and hundreds of soldiers in order to convince the Americans that Iran is evil. He could, and again, if it was simply this, like imagine this, these Marine ships show up and the Iranians simply sink them, that blow them out of the water. They're capable of doing it. They have a legal right to do it. They are defending their own country. But that's not how Trump will frame it. He'll say the Iranians, in a despicable move today, killed, 600, 2,000 U.S. Navy and Marines and so many airborne troops. And Trump and, whatever, the press secretary, they will try to convince you. They will try to convince you that Iran is evil because it defended itself. And the sad truth is the same double-digit mega people that voted for Trump are going to believe that shit. And they're going to get suckered by it. And their ministers who get money under the table from, Israel, they're going to tell you, oh yeah, Jesus wants you to go kill a bunch of Iranians. And it's okay if your kid gets killed because Jesus wants that too. That's only a few days away in terms of the arguments. Now, will it work? It's 50-50. If Trump sacrifices hundreds and hundreds of Marines and airborne to the wood chipper in order to rally people around the flag, that could work, and it only goes one way, and that's escalation, which means we are committed to escalation. We are going to mobilize our National Guard and reserves. We would have to institute conscription or the draft. That's a whole new America. Overnight, when people talk about Blue Beam, this does everything that Blue Beam would do. It would get you the militarized America. It would get people into the open-air prison mentality. Everybody would be on a digital currency. Yeah, this gets the New World Order pretty much everything it wants, and Trump got you there. But there's another possibility. Trump does this, and it's just the bitter pill, the last bitter pill that our system can't take. That whatever trust was left in the institutions vaporizes. And we are at a moment that we haven't been at since, Fort Sumter. And I don't think it's going to be like the 1860s. I think it'll be more like governors just individually saying, fuck you. Trump, in order to do this, guys, and I said this years ago, and I don't want to be right, but in order to do this, he would have to nationalize oil, or at least, for all intents and purposes, kind of the way Obama nationalized the debt during the great financial crisis. He did. He nationalized it. He paid off the fucking General Motors Insurance and Credit Corporation. So yeah, Obama nationalized the debt during the great financial crisis. Trump will nationalize the oil. And Texas, I'm telling you, Governor Abbott won't stay in charge. the people of Texas, the people of the Dakotas, other places will say, F you. We are barely making money right now. We're going to sell at whatever price we can in order to survive. Another thing about fracking and a lot of this other high-intensity, unconventional oil, despite the fact that you have to mix it with stuff coming from Saudi Arabia so that your engines don't end up burning out, but separate topic, right? This is expensive oil, which means you need a lot of resources. Obama, in 2014, along with the Republicans, nationalized the debt that fracking companies hold, nationalized credit default swaps, and if they fail. So if all of that private credit, have you been paying attention to the news? If all that private credit that buttresses many things, to include the fracking industry, starts to evaporate, Obama and the Republicans in 2014 made sure, once again, it would be the poor, the American people, who would, you know, take the brunt, carry the water, once again, for those poor, poor, rich people. And this isn't class warfare, folks. I just want us to all be treated like the same class. I want to live in a free country. I don't like communism at all, whether its focus is on the poor, quote unquote, or the rich. But generally, every kind of communism ends up in the elitist type bullshit we have right now. So even the people who think communism's for the poor, they don't really understand the first victims of the communists are the poor. Oh, but everybody gets a chunk of bread and a potato, a little bit of scrungtle protein. You can take it to your room at night and stare at the tube. So this could get bad quite quickly. I think that if they serve up the Marines and the Airborne as a sacrifice, and I'm gonna check the comments here. Are all the recent meteors part of a bigger meteor? I don't know. I haven't been able to verify any of these stories, really. And with all the AI dreck, can we just not worry about the shit that doesn't impact the price of diesel? That's the rule we have to adopt. If we want to stay sane, let's focus on actual news. Let's say meteors are coming for the Earth. We're not going to do anything about it. Maybe the government has a laser cannon, and maybe they or China or somebody will do something about it. But there's zero we're going to do about it. And we can't stop the stupid Iranian bullshit. So, price of fuel, nothing we can do about it. It's going to go up. How we respond to real circumstances, that is something we can do something about. And so, I don't know about the meteors, Ron. I'm glad you mentioned them, but I don't really know. I do not know, folks. But that, to me, is the question right now, before we move on. That is one of the essential questions. Excuse me. How would the American people respond if our administration ended up serving up light forces, airborne, air assault, Marines at all, if they served them up for sacrifice for the purpose of widening the war, what would happen? Would Americans rally around the flag, or would they go batshit crazy and say enough is enough? And this is a factor in my opinion, because I believe the American people have been exposed to high intensity, strategic, population scale, military psychological warfare since early 2020. And there were many ops, the COVID op being the king and the queen of battle, but there were many of these bullshit operations, whether it was George Floyd or anything else. I also think that if you expose a population to this type of bullshit for more than a few years, and now we're in year 7, that people will simply start going crazy. So let's say that Trump is about to serve up hundreds and hundreds of Marines and airborne to the wood chipper. I tell you it's 50-50, but my heart and my instincts and my desire tell me, which means I'm actually hoping that if he does this, which I don't want him to do, but if he does something this catastrophically stupid, that it inadvertently wakes people the fuck up. And, you know, a civil war in 2026 could be as simple as Texas, California, a bunch of countries saying, fuck you, Trump. You can't access our resources. You can't use our soldiers and people. If you want to declare a war, you go do that. But until then, fuck you, 10th Amendment. beat BRICS. Do I believe the governors will do this? Well, here's the question. At what point is their ass on the line? And I think a lot of these folks are beginning to suspect that their asses are on the line. And what's more important from recent events is Trump might not be able to help you. So we'll see. But thank you, Ron, for bringing up the meteors, and we'll continue. We'll continue. Look at this poster I had AI make. Papa Blump's Crazy Crusade. Starring Donald Trump as King Goober and Mel Gibson as Mega Jesus. So here's where we're at. Again, more news. The Pentagon is reviewing options for the final blow. And when I saw the phrase final blow, I thought, final countdown, right? It's the final countdown. I don't know if you can hear this. Yeah, so the Trump administration is preparing for the final blow. It's just dumb. When you look at the descriptions of what the final blow might be, seize or blockade Karg Island, that'll fail. Invade control Larrick Island, that'll fail. Take Abu Musa and nearby islands, that'll fail. Block or seize Iranian oil tankers. That could work. Trump could simply start snatching up any oil tanker heading out of the Gulf. And, you know, if it's coming from Iran, steal it. That could work. The problem is that's when you run afoul of China, because China might end up saying, you know, we don't really need that oil, but we're not really happy with you doing that stupid shit. So, yes, Trump could start seizing tankers, but I don't know where that ends. Launch massive airstrikes on nuclear and energy sites. Didn't they do that already? Didn't Trump say he did that last summer and he won? Hasn't he won every day? Or let's rephrase it. Hasn't Trump won as often as Putin has magically survived stage 4 cancer? Because it seems like Putin magically survives cancer about every other day, and he runs out of missiles every other week. So maybe Trump is winning all these battles and we're just too stupid to see it. Now, tomorrow is Friday, which means tomorrow they're going to end up, you know, giving another sort of ultimatum. It'll be like tomorrow, no, 5 days up, but we're going to have a new deadline. A new deadline. It'll be brand new. It'll be huge. We're going to give the Iranians until Monday night. And then something big happens, something huge. And then Monday, or really Sunday night will come, Monday morning, and Trump will be somewhere on a tarmac, getting off of Air Force One, maybe Marine One. He'll smile and say, did you know I just talked to an Iranian hoe? And she said the Iranians are ready to make a deal. They want to make a huge deal. And Kushner's bank account goes like this. Yeah. It's obvious that Trump and his family are making money off of this news right now. They're making money off the threats to escalate, and they're making money off of the threats to not escalate. Like, they're really both threats. I don't take him seriously. He's a piece of shit if he's real. Whatever he is, he's a piece of shit. But Trump is obviously using these deadlines and these, you know, supposed upcoming secret peace talks as a means to manipulate the market, and his family's making money. That is really crooked. That is what really crooked countries do right at the end. That is not a founding moment thing to do. That's the thing you do when everything's about to go to shit. Anyways. Iran is laying traps. Iran is building up defenses. Iran is setting up Karg Island the way that Lindsey Graham wants. Just like Iwo Jima, just like Okinawa. Isn't it going to be fun to storm those beaches, to storm those tunnel systems? You going to be a tunnel rat? You're going to go down in the tunnels? That's where the action's at. Make sure you bring your flashlight or your nods, whatever night vision you have. Go into the tunnel rat. You're going to Karg Island. Go meet the Pirate King. go meet the warriors who died in the sand. Yeah. If I allow myself to believe that the Iran conflict is real, then what appears to be the case, unless we have woo-woo magical technology hidden someplace, what appears to be the case is that the Iranians have complete control of what's called the decision cycle, also known as the Boyd cycle or the OODA loop. And that's bad, because that means we're constantly responding and reacting, or we're so confused we don't do anything, we just stand still. And if I look at the current op tempo of the US and Israel, as it's been described, it seems like we're kind of in a standstill moment. We're waiting on the Marines, you know, we're waiting on the 82nd. We're gonna have a couple thousand Americans with machine guns, and those Iranians will cry tears and flood themselves in their tunnels. That's what they would like you to believe. But when you look at a map of Iran and you understand that they've been preparing for this for more than 40 years, and that they probably have tunnels connecting almost every mountain range and so deep you won't touch them unless you're going to use nuclear penetrators. You know, I love that Lindsey Graham has this flight of fancy mind. He's so entertaining and whimsical. But just using his analogy and then adding in the factor, because yes, Iran will be like Iwo Jima, but can you imagine an Iwo Jima the size of Iran with tunnel systems, bunkers, plenty of supply for months and months and months, and lots of rockets and missiles to destroy every oil facility in the Persian Gulf, on the Saudi Peninsula, and probably to drive every Israeli at least crazy, because the bombardment won't stop. And Israelis will go to sleep every night knowing they'll have to wake up in a few minutes. And if you don't know this or not, another great way to play the attrition warfare game is to deprive your enemy of sleep. And this is not England, where London takes the brunt. All of Israel is a big city, a giant city, really. It's that concentrated. The few places it's not, fine, go hide there. But in reality, it's a built-up area, very concentrated. There's nowhere to go. And if these hypersonic penetrators can go deep into the bunkers, even if you go to the bunkers, you could die. And eventually, a lot of Israelis will recognize that, and they'll simply stop going to the bunkers. And that's when things really start falling apart. The bottom line is, a lot of Israeli citizens have to be asking one question right now. Do we believe we could stand alone? Do we believe we can... Actually, more than one question. Do we believe we can stand alone? They also probably need to ask, do we believe Trump has our back? But let's say it's just one question. Can we stand alone? Can Israel by itself stand alone? And other than the Samson option, which is a gigantic, gigantic terrorist threat against the whole world, I don't see how they can do it. I don't see how they can do it without becoming a permanent militaristic state. And the only end result of that will be their destruction. The only thing the state of Israel could do if Trump backed down would be to launch nukes at Iran. And do I think that there are people evil enough and dumb enough in their government to do it? Look at fucking Gaza. Look at Gaza. Look at what they did there. And I know they got talking heads that'll tell you it's no big deal, but look at what they did in Gaza and ask how evil and fucking stupid these people might be. And the answer is really fucking evil and really fucking stupid. And the so-called nice Israelis are probably shitheads too. And I saw all kinds of pictures of these motherfuckers eating popcorn and watching their neighbors getting burned alive with white phosphorus, sitting on a hilltop, watching Gaza get obliterated. Everyone saw those pictures, shitheads. If you live in the state of Israel, everybody knows that you motherfuckers dance and yell and sing every time a city block in Gaza gets vaporized. And it's not just about 10-7, but boy, wouldn't it be great if we had an actual investigation into that. So the last subject I want to talk about, and I'll see if you guys are still there, because the meat said, what if all the chaos is to divert our attention? Well, no, Ron, that's fair. The reason why I don't think it's meteors, though, is that a meteor comet thing is a discrete event, okay? A seismologist can tell you, I think Mount St. Helens is going to explode, but he can't tell you the day. an astronomer with the right technology could tell you when a meteor or even a meteor shower is going to hit months and years in advance if we believe what we're told. So a meteor collision is a discrete event. A seismic event is fuzzy. It has a probability range, but there's no actual day that you could say it's going to happen on this day. And Ron, that may sound like a strange way of thinking about it to you, but that's just how I think about it. But maybe it is a meteor-related thing. Who knows? I don't know. I kind of think that it's more terrestrial if it's the worst case. But with the Iran thing, I think that the best case is still on the table, and that is we are looking at the slow, not so slow, sometimes faster, discontinuous and non-linear death of the U.S. dollar. And no matter what case we're looking at, that is going to happen. Okay, if you think we get done going full-scale war, full-scale hardcore war against Iran, and we still have a regular paper dollar after that, you're confused. No, they'll justify it because of the war effort. They'll justify it because it'll simplify rationing. Yeah. Overnight, Trump will make you all have a U.S. Federal Reserve magic card. And they might even preload it. We're going to preload it. We're going to load it with $5,000. Everybody will be a 5,000 billionaire. Yeah, they might do all that stupid, wretched shit. The question is, will Americans go along with it? And I'm 50-50 because I'm an optimist. I kind of think, I think I don't love Abraham Lincoln, but I do love that quote that ends up at the place where you can't fool all the people all the time. But I rephrase it. You can't fool enough people all the time. Sometimes you can fool enough people for a long time, but eventually that number called enough drops, and it drops too low. And if I look at the people I know in the real world, these are people who are one or two paychecks from destruction. These are people who can't afford to feed their families. These are people who end up going in the military because they come from poverty. Do I truly believe they will follow the state of Israel right down the cemetery road? And my answer is probably not. So this is why, at this particular moment in time, the real escalation threat is probably not ground invasion, although that could happen as a justification. Oh, look what they just did to us trying to attack them. The real escalation threat, I think, and it's been the threat almost from the beginning, is some party uses a nuclear weapon, if, you know, you believe they're real. And I don't think the United States could do it for a couple different reasons. I think that there are still generals and admirals and men and women in positions of power. I still want to believe that they would prevent Trump from using a nuke, but we'll see. But the state of Israel has declared as a matter of policy that if their situation becomes untenable, and that's getting pretty fucking close, at least psychologically and economically, folks, economically and psychologically, I don't mean every rifle's been destroyed or every tank has been destroyed. And certainly the IDF will tell you they're doing great, great things in Lebanon and Syria. But economically and psychologically, I think the state of Israel reaches a breaking point in 60 to 90 days. Not 6 years, not next year. Within a few months, a lot of Israelis will have to ask the question, do I fucking stay? And before you cry a river, remember, they forced that question on thousands of Gazans. And 50 to 100,000 Gazans said, fuck you, we're not leaving, and got murdered. So do not feel sorry for these motherfuckers. These shitheads have been murdering and killing their neighbors for decades and decades. And if they haven't been doing it themselves, they've been standing by rationalizing it. Or they've been doing protests, which in reality rationalize it too. Because people say, well, at least Israel allows protests. Well, it's just whitewash, motherfucker. These are wretched people. And I don't think it's because they're Jewish. I think it's because they're part of that Khazar Empire. They're Turks and Polish and Ukrainian criminals. They're just wretched people. Nothing to do with the Torah, nothing to do with being Jewish. They're simply wretched. And again, wretched people are not the people who stand on the hill to the last bullet. Sorry. Wretched people are people who flee the ship as quick as they fucking can. So if Israel does not stop the bombardment within a few months, it doesn't matter if they still have roads and buildings. It doesn't matter if they still have a desalinization plant. They probably won't. People will start going batshit crazy because the Israelis can't stop the bombardment. And unlike London and World War II, there is no countryside for them to go to. All they have the choice to do really is just flee. And then they got to hope that on their way out, the Iranians let them go without being targeted. And I just don't know. I mean, the entire Muslim world has seen how the state of Israel treated the Palestinians over decades. It's not just recent, over decades. Which among those countries, to include Indonesia, is going to stand up and say, oh shit, though, let's have some sympathy for those motherfuckers in Tel Aviv? No. Not going to happen. So the last thing I want to talk about, I call it 3 kilo sunrise. And it's kind of a dumb supposition, but I want to just play with it. According to bullshit I found on the internet, and I talked about this yesterday, the Iranians have 3 deep water, which means ocean-going, diesel-electric submarines that they got from the Russians. And I would assume, given the skill, given the engineering acumen, and frankly the brilliance we've seen so far from the Iranians, I have no doubt that they did modifications that would make them very quiet. Now, do the Iranians have a nuke? Because here's an interesting question. If they had a couple nukes, something they could do would be to place these nukes on the 3 submarines. And they would have gone to sea with these orders weeks ago. Like, they were probably, you know, out there in the water when Trump started this campaign. And they have been running silent and deep since. But what if their job is to take up strategic positions around the United States and then just lob these nukes about 100 to 150 miles above the United States and set them off, triggering an electromagnetic pulse? It sounds completely insane, but unless we have evidence that we've destroyed them, and unless we have absolute evidence that the Iranians don't have any nukes at all, I would leave this scenario on the table. I don't begrudge the Iranians having nukes. The Israelis have had nukes since the 60s. Everybody pretends they don't, but they do. And Israel is the only country that has that kind of threat out there, that if anything bad happens to us, everybody's going down with us. Who needs a fucking neighbor like that? Would you want to live next to or even in the same town as some motherfucker who goes around telling people, if we get hurt, we're going to hurt all of you? That sounds like the worst fucking neighbor ever. That sounds like the neighbor that people put in a box and dump the neighbor in the sea. That's not a neighbor anybody needs, pal. So what if the Iranians have something special planned with these diesel electrics? What if they were really clever on improving their silence? By the way, German diesel electrics have done better in NATO submarine war games in recent decades than the nuclear subs. The nuclear subs are simply too hard to make quiet. It's one of the reasons why our own Navy is reconsidering how we use nuclear. It's not to say we won't use it, but instead of using it to drive a turbine, noisy, why not use it to drive electric motors? A lot quieter, and in some cases, super quiet. Really quiet. I don't think the Iranians would do this unless somebody had taken it to the next level. And the next level would be probably the Israelis using a nuke on Tehran. But that would be part of the order. If you have reason to believe that a nuclear weapon has been used against Tehran, no matter who used it, launch. Now, what happens next? Well, what happens next is microchips, phones, everything that has electronics, all of our complexity of modernity gets more or less erased in a matter of seconds by this pulse. I don't know that everything gets wiped out, and I would contend that the private sector and the military has done a fair amount of hardening, okay? But that doesn't mean that our electricity transmission system is hardened. So you're going to have a massive shutdown of electricity, a massive destruction of the internet, the components that are not fiber optic, switches, computers, phones, everything wiped out. Economically, it would be the biggest thing to ever happen to this country. Societally, as a society, I don't know how we would do. It's hard to say because a lot of Americans simply don't trust the feds at this point. So that type of thing too could lead to a schism. And if we're busy fighting each other, we're probably not fighting the Iranians. Just saying. So keep an eye on any story about them Russian diesel electrics out cruising around, out looking for trouble. They're on the double. Watch out for the stubble. Crawl out of that rubble and note that that kilo sunrise is coming. So unless you guys want to talk about something else, I'm going to get off the air here. But at 3:45 p.m. today, 3:45 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'll turn the show back on again for our weekly Thursday, whatever the fuck we're going to talk about. Me personally, I don't really want to talk about the war in Iran much more, but I feel compelled to. I feel compelled by Schadenfreude. I feel compelled by the general attitude of people right now to dig into this thing, but it's kind of horrible. And nobody, no adult in the room right now has a good solution. Our entire government is simply repeating the talking points of Tel Aviv. So if you're hoping the Democrats are going to somehow help out, they're not. They might play oppositional, and I'll tell you something, they're going to ask you to vote. But the election's a long ways off. November is a long ways off, and this situation could get really out of control in a matter of days. Like I said, if this is real, there's something that should be obvious to everybody in the room. Israel's situation simply gets worse and worse. It does. Every single day, missiles are launched successfully. Every single day, these bombs hit. And it doesn't matter if their propaganda works, because it's not about the people on the outside. Their propaganda is designed for the people on the inside to not just get the fuck out. If Hezbollah and other irregular units work with more coordination, if these kilo submarines are really trying to deliver on targets in Israel, which means they're setting up for an attack, but maybe even coming from the Red Sea or the Mediterranean, there's a lot of possibilities. This can get out of control within a matter of days. And at some point, like I said, the Israelis asked the question, do we nuke or not? So for you out there looking at the sky, watch the skies. No, I don't know. I don't know. I do not believe this is just about Iran. I don't believe it's just about Israel. I think that this could be a real thing being used to cover up something else. But I can't tell you for certain. And the simple truth I keep repeating over and over again is people like us, with no power, no resources, won't really know until it's too late to matter. So for Thursday, March the 26th, it's almost 11 a.m., can you believe it? We'll be back on in a few hours. We'll just talk about love techniques and ancient Greeks. And you might want to buy Seaflow spider egg style love juices. You'll go home tonight, you'll go see your wife, you'll go see your woman, and she'll be happy about your Seaflow style spider egg gels, potions and proteins, breakfast sandwiches, spider egg, the power of 10,000 spiders. Was that a Cooper Maxim? Maybe. And I will see you guys later.